Romans chapter 8. And as I said previously, if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We'll be reading to you. We do have Bibles available up on the back table if anyone ever needs those as they come in. But Romans chapter 8. And then if you would take your bulletin and open to the centerfold, there's some verses there. There's some blanks. If you have a pen, you can be filling in the blanks as we move through the message today. The reason we have blanks is so that you remember the important stuff. We put the blanks there because we believe that those statements are the most important things for you to take away, take home with you, and to remember during the week, and I trust throughout our lives. Consider a very important subject today. The title of this morning's message is Never a Victim. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we realize that as we come to this word, many of us, if not most of us, have felt victimized at different times in our lives. And Lord, that has hurt. It has been painful. But I pray that we might be able to rise above the difficult circumstances and the adverse people that are in our lives, and that we might be able to conquer, to be a victor in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. This is a letter from a man in North Korea who had been in prison. He says, "Dear family of Shin Jae-min, I know you never got a chance to know your brother since he grew up inside North Korea, but I knew him well. We shared a prison cell. We were arrested for the crime of being Christians and spreading in the gospel in a country where that is the worst crime. There is no easy way to tell you about your brother's suffering and his death. Truth is, 4 months after his arrest in North Korea, he died of starvation, disease, and abuse in room 5 of the prison, the cell reserved for those convicted of the most heinous crimes. Your brother became my dear friend, and I want you to know more than just how he died. I want you to know how he lived and the indelible mark he left on my life. I think prison revealed your brother's true character. Our bodies bore the evidence of abuse and starvation, but your brother's face reflected a heavenly peace. It isn't that he was unaware or unaffected by the stark realities of prison, but they did not rob him of his quiet dignity and love. Love for his family, his neighbors, and his Savior, Jesus Christ. While we sat in that cell surrounded by hatred and fear, he knew that love and hope in Jesus Christ could conquer. During regular interrogations, the prison guards would beat us and taunt us. Why hasn't God saved you? Why do you believe in God? Just deny God and we will give you some food. Traitors like us were typically denied food, but we'd have to watch as other prisoners ate. And when they did give us food, it was usually bad and made us sick. There we were, surrounded by despair and hopelessness. In this room, the two of us had the least earthly reason to hope. Christians who are arrested in North Korea rarely see the outside world again. But a heavenly hope is exactly what I saw reflected in your brother's eyes. Quietly, almost silently, we would share Bible verses we knew. Since your brother was a musician, he often tried to sing his favorite hymn, a Wesley hymn, "Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know." For Mr. Shin, living out his faith meant sharing whatever he had with his neighbors. And your brother knew what his neighbors needed most of all. And that could only be found in Jesus Christ. He started slowly, carefully, sharing the gospel with one neighbor after another. He once told me that he thought he must have shared the gospel with more than 100 people. Sadly, one of his neighbors finally reported his activities to the police. It was miraculous that he was able to share the gospel with so many before being reported. Sincerely, Man Jae Young. The guards knew what to say to really hurt Shin Jae-min. They knew how to hurt him. They treated him as a victim. Where is your God? If he is true, why hasn't he delivered you? He was in their clutches and they could do what they wanted to him. He was their victim, they thought. Truth is, they could do to Shin Jae-min, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, only what the Lord allowed. But why would a loving God allow such atrocities to happen to a faithful servant, his own? Shin Jae-min, however, did not see himself as a victim. He saw himself as a victor through love and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. How is that possible? What truths sustained him so that he could rise above the savage circumstances in which he found himself? That's a good question. For if we know the answers to that question, we'll also understand what truths are able to buoy us up in our difficult circumstances, that we might rise above them. Shin Jae-min suffered persecution at the hands of men who had been taught to hate Christians. And even when men don't hate us, there is one who does hate us. In the book of Job, you'll find all suffering by God's people is a form of persecution by Satan himself, the ultimate hater of God's people. He hates us Christians. Therefore, he accuses us before God. Therefore, he asks permission to do this and that to us. But God only allows Satan to go so far, and only when it's within God's perfect plan for that individual brother or sister. Well, I can't tell you the specific truths that transformed Shin Jae-min from a victim to a victor, but I can make a pretty good guess, the same truths that have sustained God's people throughout the ages. We need these truths, for it transforms life from a series of victories and defeats into a steady victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't take away the pain. It uses the pain that comes from a broken world to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole Bible explains the cosmic battle that goes on every day worldwide between Satan and God's people. But Paul summarizes some aspects of it in the book of Romans. And I want to give you from the scripture four life-sustaining truths that will transform your experience from victim to victor. The first truth to transform your experience from victim to victor is God's love for me is unchanging. God's love for me, God's love for you is unchanging. When trouble comes, especially deep trouble, devastating trouble, horrific, savage trouble, it feels like God has left us. It feels like he has forgotten us, that he doesn't love us. Shin Jae-min must have known, despite the atrocities being committed against him, God never stopped loving him. God's love for me, God's love for you is unchanging, whatever the circumstances of life. First, the cross proves that God loves me. The cross proves it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Let me explain. God gave 10 ethical principles to us in the scripture called the Ten Commandments. To break a command of God is to disobey God and suffer the just penalty against such sin. Have you ever lied? Have you ever taken something that wasn't yours? Have you ever lusted? Have you ever envied? Well, if you have done just one of those, one time, you have broken God's law and rightly deserve to be cast out of his presence forever. Fact is, all of us have broken God's commands. No man, woman, boy or girl that has lived or can live is exempt, of course, except for the Lord Jesus himself. So we all deserve to be cast out of God's presence forever. But God is the creator of each one of us, and he loves each one of us, and so he has made a special plan that this does not have to be true of us. You see, Jesus Christ took the full brunt of God's rightful anger against sin. He took the full brunt. The Bible puts it this way. He was the propitiation for our sins. That means he took the full force of God's anger against sin. And once and for all, that proves he loves us. If I have a child that is drowning, I'm going to do all I can to try and rescue that child because I love them and I want to save them. God has shown once and for all that he loves us because he sent the lifesaver. He threw out the lifeline to us. He could see that we needed his help, and he sent the Lord Jesus. If you are not a Christian full blood today, trust Christ as your Savior from sin. That is the first step in life transformation from victim to victor. Let me tell you what happens after that in the rest of the message today. But it does not mean that God removes the trouble from life. Jesus wants you as his friend. He said in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And he laid down his life for us. He has given his life so that you don't have to give yours. Simply turn from your present lifestyle and turn to a Christ-centered lifestyle, trusting him for the forgiveness of sin. Yes, the cross proves God loves us. And the cross proves that God will never stop loving me. In Romans chapter 8 in your Bible and verse 31 it says, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, since Christ has done the greatest thing in loving us, in coming to the cross and dying for us, he will also continue to do the lesser things in his expression of his love for us. The cross proves that he will never stop loving us. It proves that he loves us in the first place and that he will never stop loving us. He never did stop loving Shin Jae-min, even when starving and even when being beaten. Third, God's drawing me to himself shows that he loves me. His death on the cross shows that he loves me, and his drawing me to himself shows that he loves me. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you. God is speaking to his people Israel, but this is applicable to us. He says, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. If you are a Christian already, God has demonstrated by two things that he loves you. First of all, his death on the cross for you, and then his drawing of you to himself demonstrates that he loves you. If you are not yet a Christian, God has done two things for you to show that he loves you. First of all, Jesus Christ has died in love for you. And secondly, he is in the process of drawing you to himself. The fact that you're here today is an evidence of God's love for you and God's work in your life, and an evidence that he loves you. Let it be written in stone, God loves you, and he will never stop loving you if you are his. What kind of love is it, according to Jeremiah 31:3? It is an everlasting love. And how long is that? It is forever. He will never stop loving his people and those who are to become his people. Fourth, if that is not clear enough, let me put it another way. Fourth, bad circumstances do not cut off God's love for me. If he always loves me, then bad circumstances do not cut off God's love for me. Paul explains in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And we could add, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall sexual abuse? Shall cancer separate us from the love of God? Shall chronic illness separate us from the love of God? Can war or natural disaster separate us from the love of God? Or loss, grief in our lives, can that separate us from the love of God? Well, verse 36 continues, As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God's people, we can say hallelujah. We are conquerors. We are victors through him who loved us when we believe that God is working for us, when we know that nothing ever will separate us from his love. Nothing. Ever. Shin Jae-min must have known that God loved him always. As part of preparation to live in Gambia, West Africa, I was to go to England and study for 4 months, do some tropical medicine. And as Nolan and I thought about that, we thought about 4 months, not too long. It's going to be English winter. It's going to be cold. We're going to need warm clothing. We haven't got the kind of clothing that we need. We have 3 kids. We're going to have to buy clothing for just 4 months. The accommodation was expensive. And so we finally decided that I would go to England to study and Nolene would remain here in Australia with the 3 children. That she would fly later to England and that then we'd join together and travel on to the Gambia, West Africa. So we were separated by half a world for 4 months. We decided we'd never do that again. It just wasn't healthy. Those separated halfway around the world were able to maintain that love by weekly letters. No emails back then. By letters and by occasional international phone calls. I had to get to a public phone. I hardly even remember, but occasionally we're able to speak to each other. I suppose it was a good test. Nothing, no one would separate us from our love for each other. But others in a similar situation have not fared so well. Human love can fail. Not so God's love for his people. No circumstance of life, no matter how horrific, stops God's proven love for his people. It's proven Christ died for me. The Lord drew me to himself to be his own. He has proven his love to me, and his love will not let me go. This truth helps the Christian to rise above the circumstances of life. We are never a victim, but always a victor through him who loved us. If we feel victimized, it's just because we feel that God has left us, and we feel like God doesn't care about us. And those feelings are not the truth. They are not the reality. The reality is that nothing can separate me from the love of God for me. But I can feel abandoned. And when I feel abandoned, the feeling is devastating. If God has failed me once, and it can feel like that, how can I ever trust him again? And so we're kind of left by ourselves. The truth is, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Can you remember a time when you felt like a victim of circumstances or a victim of a crime against you? You have got to know, you must know that God loves you and he never stopped loving you. I believe it's so important for your trusting God to confess in prayer the truth. Lord, I know you loved me through all that pain. That you never stopped loving me, and you will never stop loving me. You see the security in that, this confidence in that, that will help you to rise above the circumstances. God intends you to have that security because of his unchanging love for you. The second great truth to transform your life from victim to victor is God's purpose for me is Christ-likeness. God's purpose for me is Christ-likeness. First, you must belong to Christ for this to work, and we've already dealt with that. Second, as a Christian, we must grasp what God is doing in this world, what God is doing in our lives. If God loves me, we might ask, why does he allow this suffering, this pain? Well, God's purpose for me is that I become like his son, the Lord Jesus. Now think on that. If you think on that, that explains a lot in regard to life. Parents often dote on their children. You've seen this. They want to buy everything for them. They want to give everything to them. And often giving everything to them is exactly what spoils them. I've got to say our Heavenly Father is not like that. His plan is not to give us everything to make life easy, even though some Christians think it is. His plan is not to give everything to us to make life easy. His plan is to make us like his son. And that includes painful life experiences. God is not mean. God is kind. But his purpose is to make us like his son. So let's look at the scripture. First, know that God's plan for your life is a good plan. The good plan that God has for your life includes tragic circumstances. Yet God's plan is a good plan. God said to his people Israel in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Well, if we know that God has a good plan for our lives, that does give us a future and a hope. Second, that good plan that God has for us is to make us like his son. There are many scriptures that teach us that God's ultimate purpose in the life of his people is to make us like his son. Have a look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. It says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man," what? "Perfect in Jesus Christ." God's plan is to make us perfect in Jesus Christ. The purpose of preaching in life is to present every Christian to God perfect in Christ, like their Lord. And so we keep preaching according to Ephesians 4 and verse 13, "till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The work of life is not complete until we reach the heights of the stature of the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. This work of life is accomplished by circumstances of life along with the Word of God. And in regard to the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." This book is like a mirror. It reflects God's glory to us. And so the verse continues, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." God has a good plan for my life. That good plan for my life is to make me like Jesus Christ. And thirdly, God will use everything in my life to make me like his son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 in your Bibles, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." There it is again. God's purpose for us is to be conformed to the image of his son. And how does God do it? He does it through all things. That is, all things in my life. All things work together for the same purpose. All things work together for the good plan in my life of God making me like his son, the Lord Jesus. All things. God uses both the good and bad circumstances of life to make me like his son. It is a good plan. It includes painful life experiences, but the outcome is good. Do you believe that? Your trust in God in the worst circumstances of life is the difference between being a victim and a victor. Believe that God has a good plan. When Pastor Mark Tromp was wheeled into the operating room, he said to his family, "Remember, Romans 8:28 is still in the book." What was he saying? He was saying, "Remember that God is still working all things together for good in our lives." Earlier that day, Mark had been working on the church roof when he sustained an injury which crushed his foot. In fact, the crush injury was so bad that they decided to amputate below knee. After he was released from hospital, Mark came to church the next Sunday in a wheelchair and he greeted the congregation. On the second Sunday, though, he woke up feeling faint and he started to get short of breath. And he said to his son, "I see an open door and I am going through." Right there, while being held in his son's arms, Mark Tromp died of pulmonary embolism. The destructive work that had been begun on the roof had been finished by the pulmonary embolus. Instead of entering the presence of his congregation that morning, he entered the presence of his Lord. Could this be for his good? Certainly. He was with his Saviour forever. Was this for his family's good? Well, it was going to push them to trust the Lord in their lives, wasn't it? Could this be for the congregation's good? Well, they were also going to have to turn to the Lord for their spiritual needs too. But you can imagine, and I've heard this, I can imagine Mark's wife asking, "How can this be good? What good can come of this? I'm left alone and destitute. Where is God's care in this?" Well, you can imagine Mark's wife asking those questions if she saw herself as a victim of the circumstances. But what if she trusted God that he had a good plan for her life? What if she realized that God was always about making her more like the Lord Jesus? It's sure possible that nothing good comes out of tragedy if we react just like the world. But if we will trust the Lord Jesus Christ through the tragedy, then God will be able to work in our lives that good that he intends in making us like his son. The very worst experiences in life may be from the wicked one, but they come via the permission of a caring, all-knowing, ever-present Heavenly Father who knows how to work every circumstance for our good. He never makes mistakes. He's too good to be unkind, and he's too wise to make mistakes. Remember, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. He's still working all things together for good. God will never stop loving you, and he has a good plan to make you like his son. Doesn't that lift us above the tragedy? The third great truth to transform your life from victim to victor is God's word to me is the help I need. God's word to me is the help I need. The more we're in God's word, we find more that we have the thinking of a victor and not a victim. Why is that? Principally because God's word points us back to God. And it is God in the circumstances that makes all the difference. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11 says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it afar off, but the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess." Notice there, the command to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and so on. Everything in the word points back to our Heavenly Father who is there, who cares about his people. Whenever Nolan and I are asked about tragic life circumstances in our lives, we chorus together, "Africa." It's still hard for us to go into the details even 20 years after it all happened. It was a traumatic time where there was one blow from the enemy after another. Two in our family all but lost their lives. One was David and one was Nolan. And there was one actual death, the one that was to be our little African baby. Each is a long story in itself, but our thinking got confused. We got dislocated from our Heavenly Father. And that was our fault, not his. And we began, although we didn't describe it this way, our thinking began to be the thinking of a victim. We have taken decades to heal. And the journey is not totally over. But every day, especially in those early days, we came together, Nolan and I, to read the word and to pray together. and we found the Word of God in our lives. Oh, so healing. Now, so many triggers. Many times we'd cry together through it all. But the Word of God was healing in our lives because it pointed it back to a Father in heaven who loved us and had a good plan for our lives. God's Word is the help I need because it points me back to the God of all comfort. Second, God's Word is the help I need because it contains everything that I need to live the Christian life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "As His divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature," like Jesus again, "having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Everything that has to do with the Christian life is all here. Everything we need is in this book. Psychology, man in general, cannot add one necessary iota to what is in this book. It is our help that we need. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 adds, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So this book thoroughly equips us for everything we need to live the Christian life. Everything that life can throw at us. And it performs, thirdly, the necessary surgery on our souls. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Like I said, Nolan and I have experienced that. We are changed people and we want to help anyone else who has experienced tragedy. All the help we need is found in this book, the Bible. It points to the one true and living God who loves you and gave His life for you. Trust Him. He will help you. Read this book. It will transform you. It has all the right and final answers to life's questions and dilemmas. The final truth to transform your life from victim to victor is, God's grace for me is sufficient. God's grace for me is sufficient. Yep, God's grace is sufficient for me, and just when I need it the most, that's when God gives the most grace. Paul was struggling with a chronic problem. He, the great apostle, had prayed, but an all-wise heavenly Father said to Paul, "No, Paul, I will not remove the problem." Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Just when I need His grace the most, that's when the grace pours into my life at greatest supply. God does not remove every cancer. God does not send money for every bankruptcy. God does not bring protection for every violation. God does not mend every relationship breakdown, and so on. But He does promise His grace always an increasing supply. That supply increases as it is needed. Why? So we'll learn to trust Him. So we'll learn to have faith in Him. So we'll be changed to be like His Son. There's no promise. There's some promises just as emphatically stated, but there's no promise more emphatically emphasized anywhere in Scripture. Listen to this precious verse, 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always," so it's all grace, it's always, "having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Could God emphasize it any more than that? Well, don't be afraid to ask for grace. Don't be afraid to trust God for His grace. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God wants to give us his grace as we ask him. So often we want relief from whatever problem or whatever circumstance we find ourselves. God will often say to us, "No, I'm not going to take that problem away, but I will give you something better. I'm going to give you my grace to go through it, and I'm going to give you my grace to be victorious on the other side." And we will find his grace entirely sufficient for our need. Did God get Shin Jae Min out of jail and to freedom? No, but he did receive God's grace every day to be victor when others would be victims. Did the situation ever resolve for Shin Jae Min? No, but God in his mercy took him home, and he used the torture in his life to make a beautiful person, our precious brother in the Lord. Shin Jae Min teaches us that it is not people or circumstances that make us victims. It's our attitude to those people and circumstances, and it is our trust in the living God in those circumstances. Every one of these truths that I've given you today focuses on God. These four great truths to transform us from victims to victors. Number one, God's love for me is unchanging. Number two, God's purpose for me is Christ-likeness. Number three, God's word to me is the help I need. And number four, God's grace to me is always sufficient to go through that trial. Just one last brief comment. Australia has converted to metric units, but some old-timers still think in the old imperial system. Fortunately, we have conversion tables to help us older ones to think in the new units. Well, these four truths that I've given you today are conversion tables. Conversion tables for our thoughts. Conversion tables to stop us thinking like we tend to think and help us to focus on the living God, to think right when trouble comes. These are transforming. God's love for me is unchanging. God's purpose for me is to make me like his Son, the Lord Jesus. God's word to me is the help I need, and God's grace is sufficient for me. We never have to be a victim again. Let's pray. Father, I cannot know all the hurts that are represented here today in the lives of people, whether it be hurt from some person, or illness, or mistreatment, or shame, or whatever physical difficulty. But I know the truth of your word, and I know it is sufficient for us, as is your grace. I pray, Lord, that people, us, individually, would confess these truths and know that you will be with us and have confidence through the difficulties of life. Help us to be victors through him who loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to give you a chance.